Welcome back indeed. Episode number 30 of the Razzball Fantasy Basketball Podcast, Sun Edition. Last few weeks, I've been bringing on the writers, so you guys can get to know them, match a voice to the words. It's been great. I've been having a blast getting to know everybody. Today, I'm humbled and honored to be joined by Joe Bernard. He's been, providing me with some underperforming players piece this week. It's been great. You don't need to know Nikola Jokic is good. You know what I'm saying? Like Joe brings it. So without further ado, Joe, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's happening? Thanks for having me.
Nah, my pleasure is all mine, man. I want to get to know all you guys, and hopefully, everyone else can get to know you as well. I see you rocking a Raptors hat there.
The championship hat.
Yeah.
Might be a while before I get to rock another one of these.
So. Nah, man, believe in Masai, man. Masai, he's dope. In Masai, you trust. That's your squad from day one, from the get-go, when you was a little pup, or what?
Yeah, well, I'm from Toronto.
You're from Toronto.
So, ever since we got a team, it gave us a team. Back in '95.
I remember Damon.
So day one when I remember going to games at the Sky Dome, and the thrill would be if we just lose by 20,
right. I love those uniforms, man. The dinosaur uniforms. I don't know, what about you? Were you feeling them or not?
Yeah. I think we just loved having the basketball team in the city, so they were, it was all good. But definitely as we've moved on now, we've been around for 25 years, those uniforms mean like so much. Now it's nostalgic, retro, and it means a lot to the city.
They're sweet. So, I know Toronto's a very cosmopolitan city. In terms of hoops, has hoops always been there? Because, you're in Canada, so it's all about hockey, right? So,
yeah, it's definitely a lot of hockey's big, Leafs are big.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been here, no. But there's definitely been an interest for a long time, a long, long time. Because, we used to have, our high school basketball scene was massive for us because that's what we had.
Yeah.
And we had guys who ended up going, to the league for a little bit. Jamal McGlure guys, before the real explosion, the guys ended up going. But there wasn't any eyes on Toronto because we didn't have a team. So there wasn't scouts coming. So when when those guys went, it really meant a lot to the city.
When do you think hoops got big up there?
I think hoops really started to take off. When Vince put his hand in the rim. When he put his arm in the rim,
that was nuts.
It put the seat on the map. So people like me, a diehard Raptor fan and basketball fan for a long time, we love that too. But it definitely turned a lot of heads when he did that, and that was the beginning of it. The Mighty Mouse era was nice too.
I love that. I remember, that was dope.
The billboards were out there. We started to have. You'd be out at the club or be out in Toronto, be at the restaurant, and you start to see guys around. But it was Vince. It was Vince, and it was the dunk contest.
Okay. So Vince took it to the next stratosphere. But you were mentioning that before the Raptors came, the city was they were itching for a team. So hoops must have been pretty big from that point. So why did it get to that point? You know what I'm saying?
How did it bubble up to be like?
To where people were itching for
I think. Basketball was always kind of bubbling up. I think you had this little pipeline of people, that were playing. You had, the inner city kids that were still playing. You had this little thing bubbling up. Yeah. And then you had a few guys go. and go to you know, back then.
So then they followed college, him when they went.
Well, college hoops were so big then. It was bigger than the NBA to us, like, and to a lot of people, I'm sure, because you know, you had guys going there for 4 years. So in college ball was it. NBA was kind of secondary. So as it kind of bubbled up even more, and then Jordan came along, obviously, and made everything popular. As we started to have guys go to universities and go to colleges and have little stints in the NBA, that's what was really making it popular.
How do you guys follow them, like on TV and stuff? Because they weren't showing, were they showing those games up there for you guys? Or
you mean before the Raptors came?
Yeah, before. So when you're following the guys like in college and stuff like that.
So you really only got to see them on, in the big tournaments, the prize, of course, in the
March Madness. You know, March Madness. Like, got you. All right, so you know, it got to the point where, you know, you got Maple Jordan right coming out and things like that. So as a native Toronto, are you native from Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, so is it native Torontonian? How do I pronounce it?
Yeah,
that native Torontonian. All right. So as a native Torontonian, is there disappointment in Maple Jordan because the expectations were so high for him?
Yeah. I think there was a little bit, you know, but, you know, I definitely feel though that we were still able to overcome that, you know, as a city.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. You know, like one thing that I always used to think about, especially for cats from like other countries, right? Yeah. So like they dominate their local fields and things like that. And I can kind of apply it to a lot of kids from the States too, right? Because like those kids are, they're crowned from when they're like 8, 9 years old. Right. So they get elevated to a certain level. And then because of that, a lot of times it's because they're just more physically dominant than everyone else. So then they don't have to refine their games. They don't need to learn the counters to the counters. Right. They don't need to learn all that stuff. Right. So they get away with just one dribble, hop, step, dunk. Right. Yeah. And like, I feel like that's what happens, especially to a lot of international kids, because the competition level, right, like they just don't face it. Right. And you know, even it even happens here. So, like, I don't know. Like, do you follow like the what is it? Is there an AAU scene up there or
like, no? Not really.
Don't even that's have
the
it.
One. Yeah. No, that's the one thing we've. It's the university scene up here. You know, no disrespect to it, but it's never been anywhere near what the American one is.
Yeah.
And even with an NBA team here now, it still isn't there. It's still all about NCAA. All of our talent goes NCAA. It doesn't stay local and go to universities around here.
Right.
So it's that beast has never been fed.
That's too bad, man. This it's because you guys too socialist, man. Not enough money.
No, you know what? And you know what's happened now? Now, but more than ever now, we have academies. So we have academies where we didn't have them before, and that's where the Andrew Wiggins types, the Jamal Murray types, you know, all of these cats, that's where they're going and getting plucked from.
Right.
And then they're out of here.
That's too bad, man. But you guys put a good national team together, right?
Yeah.
Your national squad is nice.
Yeah, you know, we always trying to get behind the national team. We've had some letdowns over the years, but, you know, whatever.
So, wait, I'm looking. All right, so your FIBA World Cup, you know, Ken Birch is nice. Corey Joseph's nice. Who else is in here? Oh, Nikhil.
I like Ken Birch. He's coming on.
Nice. He's nice. Yeah. He's super athletic, man. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah. So, how could I forget? RJ Barrett, Nikhil Alexander Walker. All right. Chris Boucher. All right, so as a native Torontonian,
that's it.
Your views on Chris Boucher? I want to hear them.
Okay. All right. Love Chris Boucher. Okay. Just from a pure basketball place, you know, I think this kid is untapped potential. I was literally just having a conversation about him the other day.
All right.
Where, you know, whether we're talking fantasy or even real life, I think the potential is just untapped for him.
Okay, let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Yeah, I think we're talking about a guy who, you know, first of all, there's not in the NBA, the shot blocker is kind of going the way of the dinosaur, you know, to some degree. So when you have a guy like him who clear rim protector, you know, will change shots, alter shots, can also stretch the floor, can rebound the ball, does it all at a great percentage. I mean, he's not just, you know, a chucker out there where he's just throwing up shots. Sure, you know, his game is limited to 3-point shooting and dunks, but if he can do that well, there's no need for anything else. He needs a little size on him.
He's a
thin guy, and you see it when he's up against these other bigs. Like, he's on the deck way more than he should be.
He reminds me of
another guy we used to have back in the day a little bit. Who was also really thin.
Marcus Camby?
No. I'm thinking Chris Bosh. You know, really wiry and a thin guy, and you know, he hit the deck a lot.
That's true.
But then he put on some strength, he put on some size, and he was able to battle against, you know, in his time that was Duncan's and Garnett's.
Right.
I think Boucher has the tools. He's definitely got to put on, I expected him to put on a little bit more weight coming into this season. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So you basically say Chris Boucher is gonna be Chris Bosh. All right, I got you. All right, Boucher's listed at 6'9", 200. I don't know, man. I don't know if he's 200, right? I don't know if he's 200. All right, what do you think? Like 190?
They might be being generous. Right? You know, like when they used to call, like, point guard 6 foot, and they were really, like, 5'10"?
Yeah, exactly. So plus or minus. Okay, so I don't know. There's no way he's 200, man. But all right. Okay, so say he's 190, right?
Yeah.
Bosh was 235, man. That's still 40 pounds, man.
You know, I mean, Bosh was never as skinny as him. Bosh was, I'm just, you know, when I compare even the type of game that Bosh had to play then compared to, you know, Boucher doesn't have to bang in that way. Like, the game had kind of evolved a little bit.
Yeah.
But Bosh had to bang.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
A little bit more.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, that offsets the difference in the weight.
All right, so, okay, obviously Nick Nurse doesn't want to, he can't put Boucher at the five. I mean, he's been playing, you know, Siakam. Is it Siakam or Siakam? Siakam, right?
Siakam,
right. He's been playing Siakam at the five a little bit, but then he runs into the same problems, right? He just get bullied by, like, Embiid and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that's why they brought in Ken Birch, but, you know, man, I thought Aaron Burns was going to be a good sleeper. I'm a stupid man.
Instead, he just fell asleep.
I'm a stupid man. I thought he would be good for that squad. All right. So, I mean, he's going to leave Siakam at the four. There's no way Boucher can play the three, right? So Boucher and Siakam split the four. Is that the thing?
You know, here's the problem. The problem I'm seeing with the Raptors now, and we're only starting to see it now because, you know, when we won the championship, OG was hurt. And so you didn't really see it.
He looks nice.
He's nice. Yeah. He's real nice. I like him. Yeah. You know, he's going to surprise a lot of people, I think, come next year too.
I like him.
But I find him and Siakam are too close to the same. Mm. You know, they kind of occupy the same space to a certain degree.
True.
So that doesn't allow for that, you know, because one of those spots should be Boucher.
Oh, so you think Boucher should play the three?
No, I think he could play the four, not so much the three.
Okay.
But the problem is, I don't think Siakam or OG can play the two. So you can't bump them all the way up.
You know,
and a guy like Birch is the perfect five.
Yeah, he works well with you guys. Yeah.
So that becomes the problem, and you can't bring Siakam or OG off the bench, in my opinion.
You got to start them. Yeah, you have to start them. So then that's Boucher's, you know, 20 minute guy, you know?
He's Boucher's going to come off the bench. I mean, and I think that's fine for him because I still think he can hit close to, you know, 30 minutes and he can still do damage in 25.
I guess, okay, he could play back of five, back of four.
Right.
Maybe a little three.
maybe, okay, depending what the lineup is out there, but definitely okay, backup four and backup five.
Okay, all right. So, Kyle Lowry, were you sad? Were you sad that they didn't trade him, or like, what's your deal there? Is it too much love for him, or what?
Yeah. Let me just, okay. So, you know, when it comes to Kyle Lowry, we're talking about a man who's gonna, as far as I'm concerned, his statue should be there right
okay
now.
Okay, all right.
This is let's just put it in perspective, like, before we even talk about him, yeah, exactly what this man
yeah
is to Toronto.
Yeah, he's your Kobe. He's like, yeah,
he's it.
Yeah,
he's it. You know, and I know, you know, there's a lot of love for Vince and whatever. Yeah. And I came from an era. I mean, I came up. I'm the same age as Vince, essentially. So I have a different perspective on Vince. You know, and I had a lot of hurt feelings and everything else.
Yeah,
so
no,
moving on from that, yeah, Kyle Lowry though okay is the man,
okay,
and he personifies, I think, what Toronto basketball was to be. It's not so much about the wins and the losses. That's great, but no days off, you know. And that he just was that guy on the court. He was just an extension of the fan base, I think. So,
All right. In
my heart, I want nothing more than Masai to say to him, "Hey, you want, you know, a 3 years, another,
give him another the Kobe, 60, give him the Kobe
65, 70, okay, 70 million, whatever." Yeah, because, yeah, and I've had this conversation before, you know, where it's like, okay, because I hear people always wanting to say, well, you got to go young, you got to get rid of Lowry, trade him at the deadline. I was never on that train. I'm like, okay. Why are you trading him? Mm-hmm. You're going to trade him only to have to go and look for a replacement. You know, imagine if we didn't have Kyle Lowry. If we signed him from somewhere, you'd be like, oh my God, we got Kyle Lowry.
Right.
You already have him. You know, if he wants to go, that's a different story.
Okay.
And that's fine too.
Okay. But give him his
by
right.
By no means, it shouldn't be the Raptors saying we're moving on from you. That's okay. How I feel.
Well, and you know, I haven't heard that perspective, but it makes a lot of sense. Like, and I feel that. I feel that.
We got Malachi Flynn in the wings.
Yeah, Just
let him keep working. Let him keep working. You know, he's got work to do. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
You know, Masai is a freaking genius, man. He really is, man. Like, the work that he's done is like, you know, like, his eye for talent, right, is like really good. You know, like, man, he's hit on almost everybody. It's except for Aaron Baines. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but like developmentally, like drafting wise, like, I mean, he's pretty. His percentage is really phenomenal. So like, man, you guys are in good hands, man.
You know, you think about Siakam, Powell, Van Vliet.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys were grown up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Homegrown
in the 905 in the farm system. You know, these weren't trades. These were guys who were just, we grew them up.
Yeah.
And look what they became. Yeah. So, no, it was OG as well. OG's in that same group.
Yep. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. So last thing on the Raptors, and then, you know, before we got to stop slobbering on the Raptors because, you know, we got to get to other stuff here. But the one thing I've always, you know, wanted to touch you, and I want to get your perspective because you're a native Torontonian.
Yes.
Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady together. It could have been the GOAT. It could have been the GOAT, right? Right? Am I wrong there?
You're not wrong at all. And I think that's, if depending on who you talk to, depending on which era they fall in, what age bracket they fall in. I know people in my era, and I know how we felt when that all happened. You know, I'll never forget, you know, McGrady and he kissing us goodbye. I was at that game where he was pretty much like saying adios.
That's right.
But to think what they could have been together, listen, and I'm not even talking from a business. I don't know what the ins and outs of the intricacy of the business was for those two guys. I think also it was a position where, you know, they were in Canada and they were Americans and Toronto was really new to the basketball landscape. And we weren't the Toronto that people see now,
right.
You know, people are finally realizing this is a dope city.
Right.
At that time, you know, it was all about American TV viewership, these thought to be bigger markets.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's unfortunate that happened because I really do feel that if you think about what Tracy McGrady ended up being and what Vince Carter was and continued to be, not only would we have had those two great superstars and, you know, one soon to be Hall of Famer, but also the players we could have attracted having those two
playing with them
is limitless. I don't even I can't even begin to imagine who would have wanted to come and throw lobs for these two guys.
As some of like the greatest like wing pairings of all time, like they could have been right below Pippen Jordan, I think. You know what I'm saying?
We're talking. No way we're not talking about them in the top three wing duos of all time. There's just no way.
Oh, that's crazy. So it always breaks my heart when I think about that, man, because I'm just like, man, you know, like, I like to see greatness. I like to watch greatness. I like to appreciate, you know, great, like, it's great, you know, you want to see it, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have seen that, you know, because, like, you know, you look at some of the great combos in the game, you know, whether it be Jordan Pippen, you know, Shaq, Kobe, whatever, right? Like you want to see how that shit works. You know how a puzzle works. You know, oh, man, just the evolution of it. I want to see it. All right, man. Enough slobbering about your freaking Raptors, man. let's get into you, man. So, okay. You know, you're born and raised in Toronto.
Born in Ottawa.
Ottawa. Okay.
And then around.
Toronto. In and around. All right. You always had a love for hoops, but like, so bring us back to Little Joe. What was he about?
It was one of those things where it was early. Basketball, you know, culture was always around, even though we didn't have professional team to look at. It was definitely a sport, you know, we gravitated to. Everybody played hockey.
That's what I'm saying.
We played road hockey.
Okay.
A lot. Okay. Right. I didn't skate, but there was a lot of people who did and played hockey. That was a thing. Yeah. But basketball was heavy.
You played from an early age? Like, when did you start playing?
Probably started playing basketball when I was around 11.
11, okay.
Around 11, 11 okay. Yeah, around that age. Right. Maybe even a little bit before I would have a basketball. But probably started really playing around 11.
So what happens during the wintertime, man, when you can't go out and play?
You know what's funny? You play in the winter a little bit. Play outside. Yeah. Okay. You shovel off or you do what you got. You're dressed like I've done that.
That's love. That's love for the game. I like it.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's you try to find an indoor court or you you do what you can. But you definitely if it's a nice day out and it's freezing, you go out.
Okay. Yeah. So describe the game. What kind of game did you have?
Oh, I get to embellish a little bit.
This is your Al Bundy moment, man. You know,
I played point guard. You know, I played in high school.
All right.
I wasn't a fantastic shooter, but I could shoot it.
Okay.
You know, I could shoot it, and
you had range always downtown?
But I was always a good passer. I still think that's probably my best attribute.
Okay.
Wasn't the fastest guy. I didn't jump the highest, but I could shoot it and I could pass it.
Nice. That's like okay, so give me a player comp.
That's gonna be nice.
Like I said, this is your time to shine, right? You can
Who just shoots it and passes it? Man, that's a tough one.
You want me to do like Eric Snow or something like that?
I don't mind. You know, I don't mind. If you want to compare me to Eric Snow?
I'm just playing to play, man. You know, he was actually a decent player. He was decent. Yeah.
I think about Chauncey Billups. You know, and I think about a guy who could just shoot the ball when he had to shoot it. You know, and could pass the ball. And you know, he did a bunch of stuff in between, of course. But my game was nowhere near the level of Chauncey Billups. But that's the kind of guy I think about.
Okay.
You know, when I think about my game, I used to love that pull up three. I used to do that one. I like that one.
Did you have handles?
Yes, a little bit of handles. A little bit of handles.
All right. So when you say the pull up three, were you doing the LaMelo pointing at the half court and then launching it from half court or not?
No, none of that. It was all change of speed. It was like run, and then just stop on a dime at the three and shoot it from there. Yeah.
So I'm getting the sense that you were fundamentally sound, right?
I'm gonna say I was.
Right. good assist to turnover ratio, right? Always take care of the ball. Put your guys in the right positions to shoot. Okay.
Yes, yes.
I like it. I like it. All right, so you played in college, you said, huh?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm
just No, you're good, man.
Okay.
All right, good?
Yeah.
All right, so you played college ball?
Okay. No, so I didn't play college.
Okay.
I didn't play in college. There was a couple colleges I was going to, like, uh-huh. just to try. They were doing just community colleges around here. And I did some trials. That was fun. But no, okay. I didn't play college ball. And then, of course, I ended up taking it in school. No,
right, I got college. You. All right, so how did you get into fantasy and writing about fantasy?
Well, so writing was something separate altogether. I used to love writing when I was younger. I had a teacher that really embraced my writing. Nice. You know, I remember some in middle school. I feel like that's all I did was just write for this teacher, you know.
Well, what kind of stuff were you writing? You're writing letters to a teacher or what?
No, I was writing like little stories. I was writing like little like murder mystery stories and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I used to I think part of my, you know, my little writing style is that I used to be in a little rap group when I was younger.
Okay.
And so I used to write a lot of rhymes. And I used to write do a lot of that, and you know, we had a little demo tape and everything. So I think my feel for, you know, for writing really came from there. So and I always liked to write, you know, I did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had a friend of mine introduce me to fantasy basketball. This is going back probably like 16 years, 17 years ago. Okay. And we're still, it's the same league I've been in. We're in the same league since then.
What platform was that? What, Yahoo? ESPN?
Yahoo.
Yahoo, okay.
Yeah, we do Yahoo. We do a live draft where we meet
That's
in person
the best. That's the best.
Every year. It's it's Christmas. So it's, that's how the two kind of merged together.
Okay.
And then I got an opportunity to write for Razzball. So I was reading Razzball already before, and I'd always, it was one of my tools, you know, when I'm looking at the building up for the season. I got a few places I go to. Razzball was always there. So,
I love it. So is your draft, is it a dynasty keeper league, or you guys redraft every year?
It's a dynasty keeper league.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how many players do you keep?
So it's changed throughout the years. We actually just implemented another rule change this year. So it's a three player keeper league.
Mm.
But this year, moving into this year, the commissioner implemented you can have a dynasty keeper. So a guy that you can keep
forever.
Like a franchise player.
Okay.
So you franchise him. Not forever. You can keep him for an extra year. So our keepers are 4 years.
4 years. All
you get to keep this guy for 5 years.
Okay.
And his value stays low for the first 3 years.
Nice. How many teams in that league?
We are running with 15 teams.
That's nice. That's deep.
Yeah.
Real deep. Yeah. Everybody is from that area?
Yeah, everybody's from in around Toronto, like in around the GTA.
Dude, that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, there's one. We have one guy who was up here. It was a good friend of mine, and he had moved up here.
Yeah.
And we just got him into this. I don't think he ever really played fantasy basketball. He's back in Kentucky. He's in Ohio right now. That's where he lives. But he's still in the league.
Dude, that's great. That's like the best, man. Like in light drafts, like those leagues, especially one. Okay, so 16 years, how much turnover has there been in that league? Or has it been the same guys the whole time?
You know, surprisingly, not a lot.
That's great,
it's the,
man.
It's the same core. It's the same core guys. There's been a you know, a few guys to flip in and out. Some guys have even left and come back.
Right.
But I'd say it's the same guys.
Dude, that's beautiful. So what? Like, you guys all knew each other before, or like how did that work?
No. So pockets of us did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there was my friend brought me in.
Right. Right.
And at that time, it was a smaller league. It wasn't as many people. Yeah. So since I got brought in, you know, 16 years ago, I would say half the league are guys that I brought in.
Yeah.
And the other half is the, you know, from the original guys.
You guys both
all the same now. Yeah.
Dude, that's beautiful, man. Like, it's, you know, it's tough, right, to find good leagues, right? So to find one like that, it's like, man, you know, magnifique, you know?
Yes.
Like, that's a beautiful. All right. Are there other leagues that you play in as well, or is that your main?
Yeah. It's a I do like a spin-off league from that league. So it's like one of the guys sets up a league, but it's only a couple guys are the same. Pretty much a completely different league. It's not live. You know, it's a very different feel altogether.
Is it a redraft league, or that's a dynasty?
No, that's a keeper league as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done some, you know, other leagues throughout. I've done some redraft leagues, and you know, running three and four leagues at a time. But I think I like it like this. I like it. Keep it niche and keep it a little bit small. And
yeah,
you
no,
know,
for sure,
I give
man.
So much. I give so much energy to it. It's almost like I don't have time for the other
no,
leagues.
I feel you. Like, you know, a lot of times, like, I want to get in more leagues, but at the same time, I'm like, I feel like I'd be diverting attention from my baby, you know? And it's like, you know, like, you just want to put all of it into it. So, yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you. All right. Yeah. So, over your 16 years experience, right, just playing, what are some of the things that you've learned?
In fantasy basketball?
Yeah.
I've learned it and I haven't learned it, but it's patience.
In terms of players.
Patience in terms of players. So,
okay.
You know, I think I've seen, you know, both sides of the coin on it. So I've learned it in that, you know, I try to be patient with my guys. If I've done the scouting and I've done my homework and I've drafted him and he's not quite giving me what I need in the first few weeks or the first month, I need to learn that patience with him. But at the same time, I understand that maybe somebody else is losing patience and that might be an opportunity to get a guy. So patience is a funny thing, but I've tried to, you know, really learn patience with it. And
yeah, there's a reason why they say it's a virtue, right? It's it's tough, right? So, okay. So then, I mean, the conundrum always comes to, right? Like, are you being patient enough? Or are you not being patient? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you need to cut a guy and get that new guy, right? And sometimes you need to give him more time to run. So, like, I mean, it's such a subjective thing, right? So, like, what's kind of like your process when it comes to something like that?
Well, you know, sometimes you try to look at trend, right? Okay. You know, so just taking a player, for example, like a Ricky Rubio type.
Yeah.
Historically, his trend has been he's a better second half player, right? So you almost tend to not even pay attention to the first half of the season too much with him because you know he can turn it on.
Right.
But he's getting up there in age now and scenarios are changing and, you know, that might not be the case for him any longer. But that trend is one thing to look at.
I got you.
Situation, you know, is another one. Right. You know, a guy might be coming off of an injury. So that could be a slow start for him. It might take him a while. Or there could be another young dude really showing that he's ready to take that spot, and you might be looking at a timeshare situation coming down.
Malachi Flynn.
Not yet.
He's not ready.
He's bubbling, and I like it, but he's not ready quite yet.
All right. OG's ready though, right?
OG's ready. OG's ready.
Yeah. Nice. No, that's beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, patience. No, patience definitely virtue. Do you have a favorite, like, so mainly Dynasty, you prefer the Dynasty format over the redraft format, or do you not care?
You know, I'm partial to the Dynasty format because I think I just love my league so much, my main league. I just, it's...
Because so of the people in the league.
Yeah, you know, and it's like an attachment to me, you know, it's so great that I lean towards that, but I do see. I like the idea of the redraft too. If it's another league where you don't have to worry about that you can't have a guy, like everybody's available.
Yeah, yeah. So no, for sure. Is there a lot of like trading, a lot of action in your dynasty league?
Yes.
Or no? Yeah. Is there?
There is quite a bit of action.
Yeah.
Some action is not. It's not taken.
what do you mean?
Same way. Well, you know, so you'll always have trades that.
Oh, people, they don't like the trades. Right.
They don't like the trade, yeah. Right. And so we with this league, we also run our WhatsApp chat 24/7, like all year round.
Yeah, yeah.
So trade happens, and that chat just blows up. And
do you guys have vetoes in your trades, in your league, or no?
So we used to have a veto button, you know, pretty much you just press the veto.
Yeah.
that's been that was taken away years ago.
All right, good. Vito sucks. That's
it. Yeah, it would have to be something of some gross collusion.
Yeah, yeah.
And the commissioner would be the one to really strike it down. So outside of that, no vetoes.
All right, cool. Any Ron Artest moments where things get so heated that, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Is there one that comes to mind right now?
There definitely is one that comes to mind. I remember some years ago, and these guys, you know, some of these guys aren't in the league anymore. Okay. But there was a year there where they were talking about where are we meeting? Let's meet up.
Wow.
And let's settle this. Yeah, wow. It got to that point.
Well, I mean, do you remember the trade?
I don't remember the trade. No, it's been so many. That was hundreds of trades ago. But
that's funny, man.
The words were fired back and forth, and it got heated.
Nice. You know, that's just passion, right? It's passion.
it was entertaining. That's for sure.
Yeah. that's some wild stuff. All right, so what's your core in that league?
Sorry, say that again.
What's the core? Who's your core in that league?
My core, like my
your players, like who are your dudes that you're keeping?
My core guys are Doncic.
Nice.
I got Embiid.
Nice.
Gobert.
I like it.
Booker.
That's a good call.
OG.
Of course you got OG. Of course.
Yeah, I got OG. I got Tatum, but I got him a little late. But I have Tatum right now. I have Kyle, but he's not playing, obviously. Yeah. Him late though too.
So who are you keeping? Because you can only keep four, right?
Oh, my core guys that I'm keeping. I'm sorry, I thought you meant just my core, like.
Guys No, I mean, you're telling me your team, but your team is stacked. But you have to cut it down, right? You got to.
Yeah.
Gotta,
so I'm gonna keep. I'm gonna keep Doncic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep. So because we're dynasty, I have Cole Anthony at a buck. I'm keeping him.
All right.
I'm gonna keep him. I think, you know, the Magic are full rebuild, and I know that Fultz got hurt, but unfortunately, when guys get hurt, it gives another guy to shine. Yeah, I think Cole Anthony is gonna ball, so I'm keeping him.
Okay.
I'm on the fence about keeping OG just because of his price. I want to keep him.
Yeah.
And I may or may not keep Draymond Green. He's really cheap. And those assists.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, you're throwing back Embiid and Tatum. Wow.
Price.
I hear you. That's,
And Tatum can't be kept. He's done.
Oh, for this? Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not bad for a 15-league team, like the type of turnover, right? Like that, you know, fosters a lot of action. Wait, is this salary cap or?
There's a salary cap.
Oh, okay, so that's even better. And then how does the rookie draft work? Is that is it auction as well or?
Yeah, so it's all auction. There's not a rookie draft. Auction. It's a full auction draft.
That's great. That's the best. Auction is the best. That's the only way to go, man.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah. I've done the other ones. You know, the snake draft. Yeah. Auction. Auction's where it's at.
All right, so I don't think too many guys have talked about the auction. So, you know, I mean, you're a professional, you're a connoisseur, right, of the format now. So, yeah, so give us some tips, give us some hints on your experience with auctions, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it comes down to exercising some patience.
Okay.
Right, but at the same time, recognizing value very quickly. So, you know, you can, for example, you know, this year I had my eye on young guy out of Kelly Oubre, you know, for whatever reason, I thought he was going to have a good year. I liked him a lot.
I thought so too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had my eye on him and he was my guy slotted in.
Okay.
I was getting him.
Yeah.
He ended up, but before he got nominated in our league, Chris Porzingis got nominated. And his price was coming in. It was like $14. And it was like 3-2-1. It was down to me. And I'm thinking, I'm going in. I'm going to, you know, I got to scrap my Oubre idea because I didn't think Porzingis was going to come on the board here. Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at, it depends who comes off the board and when they come off the board. If you're looking for you know, a shot blocker, and you got, you know, Embiid's gone, Gobert's gone, you know, all these guys are gone.
Yeah.
It's time to maybe switch your, in the moment, switch your tune and go with, okay, well, here's Porzingis coming in a good value. I got to go this route.
No doubt. Yeah, you got to be flexible. You got to pivot and be flexible. For sure. Yeah. So you don't blow your whole wad in the beginning. You wait.
I right? try not to.
But it happens.
There has been a time or two where Curry got the best of me.
It's hard not to, man. You know, it's so hard not to.
It's so difficult, especially when you have the money. You know, you have it there. It's ready. It's every guy's available to you in the same way. It's like, I got to hold on.
Well, okay. So let me ask you this then, because like in like a normal like startup draft, right? I think it's easier to be more patient because, you know, there's a lot of superstars, right? And then even the tier below, like, you know, the pool, right?
Yes.
But in a rookie draft, right, like, there's only one Cade Cunningham, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it drops off pretty quickly, right? So so in rookie drafts, I'm assuming that the auctions, like, it's hot and heavy in the beginning for the top guys, right?
Well, yeah, but we don't separate it.
What do you mean? You keep your guys, and then everybody gets thrown in. The rookies
The rookies are all involved. Yeah,
together. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not a separate draft.
So you keep four. Was it four? You keep four.
Yes.
And then what's the total roster? Like 13 or something like that.
15. 15? So you got 11. You got point guard to util, and then you got five on the bench.
Yeah. I like that. I like combining it because it would disperse the funds out more equitably. Okay.
Yeah. And I quite liked a year like this year where there was really no advantage to this rookie class. Like, you know, you really just were, it was, you know, it will be LaMelo Ball, but truly it could have been Tyrese Halliburton as rookie of the year this year, you know, if things kept going. It was really wide open. I like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. With any thoughts on this upcoming draft, or is it too early?
Oh, I think it's too early. I mean, Cunningham for sure.
Yeah.
There's another. Those twins. I can't even think of his name right now. Those two big guys.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not. I can't remember the team they played for. But anyways, no. I think it's still too early.
Okay.
But like in any fantasy draft, especially in a dynasty draft, you got to get a rookie or two.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lotto. You got to get a ticket.
Yeah.
And
No, I feel you. Yes, cash it out. I mean, your team was pretty top heavy, right? So it's kind of stars and scrubbies to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So how did your depth come out? Did your depth come out good? How did you work that?
No, I had to work on that through trades throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I worked the wire a lot to try and, you know, get that. But
were there even guys there? A 15-team league, right? This score is bare,
you know,
right?
That's the other strategy around when you have that many guys. The wire becomes you got to be so in tune with it and on it. You know, we run our wire, though, a little bit differently. Whereas it used to be, you know, a guy goes off at night and you just, if you happen to be up at watching the late game, you hit the button and you get him. We changed it so that, you know, we have set days throughout the week that are pickup days.
Yeah.
And that's also an auction.
Yeah. So, it's all about fab. You need to have fab. Like that, all that first come, first serve bullshit, that's bullshit. Yeah. You guys did it right, man. No, you guys did it really right. Nah, man, this has been great, man. You know, I'm glad, you know, I was able to chat with you, get to know you a little bit better. Is there anything you want to tell the peoples out there?
I mean, you know, follow Razzball, check it out. You know, it's a great content on there. You know, so many good writers, so much good content, and really, it's like a hand guide to mastering some fantasy basketball. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, I said, before I even wrote for this this column, I was watching and reading. I would get so much information from there that I could use, you know, it was daily, it was week to week. You know, the buy and sell was huge. That was a big piece of it. So,
for sure.
Yeah, no, you know, kudos to you, man.
No, good job. Appreciate it. Were you back then in the JB days, or?
Yeah. So I remember the switchover.
Oh wow! All right, man. I miss JB, man. It's too bad.
Yeah. I remember when you came on. I remember when it switched over.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sometimes change is good.
It is. Yeah, it's funny. You know, like you came when you don't see somebody, but in your writing styles were different enough that you just got your whole different personality when you started writing for it. So
No, for sure, man. Yo, Joe, I appreciate it, man. We'll probably get everyone else on the pod again at some point, you know, later. But, yeah. No, man, thanks, man. I appreciate you taking the time. Good luck to your Raptors.
Anytime. Was a pleasure, brother. Thank you.
All right. Later, Joe.
Take it easy.